An Appleton man arrested in connection with a high-speed chase in Fond du Lac County last week. We'll get the latest from Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Captain Bill Todick coming up on the next segment of the show. Waupun police continuing their investigation into the death of an elderly Mayville woman at her grandson's home in Waupun. Deputy Police Chief Jeremy Roche will join us on the final segment of the show. Americans are commemorating 9/11 with mournful ceremonies, volunteering appeals to never forget, and rising attention to the terror attacks' extended toll on responders. President Donald Trump marked his third 9/11 anniversary as president amid growing frustration about what he calls the endless war in Afghanistan, where al-Qaeda conceived the deadly 2001 attacks. Joining us on this segment of the show, Republican Congressman Glenn Grothman. Pleasure having you on the program.
Glad to be on the show. Stepping out of a committee hearing here, but nothing better than being on Between the Lines.
When you think about 18 years have passed since that day, what goes through your mind?
Well, I think it's one of those days that nobody will ever forget. You know, it reminds me of being a child when John Kennedy was shot. I remember when I first heard about this, I was in Madison at the time, and it was just kind of an amazing thing. And it does seem like yesterday. It's hard to believe all the young people day in school, they wouldn't remember it. Either they were born after that or, you know, so young you wouldn't remember. And it's something we're just going to have to make sure the younger generation never forgets and realize we always have to be vigilant in the future to make sure this type of thing doesn't happen again.
What are your thoughts on U.S. involvement in the Middle East right now? And as President Trump said, you know, how long is this war in Afghanistan going to go on? Will U.S. Taliban talks resume? When will the U.S. withdraw troops? What are your thoughts on that?
I think in the long term, we will stop engaging in any fighting over there, but maintain a presence. Afghanistan borders Pakistan, borders Iran, and for that reason, it's not a country you want to have the Russians or other nations setting up shop in. So I think we want to lay down a marker and have some troops there, but not be engaged in war. I don't see what we've gotten out of fighting with the Taliban. I think the idea that you're ever going to make Afghanistan a normal Western-style country is ridiculous. You look at all the number of different ethnic groups, all the different languages that are spoken in Afghanistan. And when George Bush went in there and tried to pretend that he was going to make it a normal, unified country, that never was going to happen. So I think we just have to make sure that in the future, everybody knows around the world that it's in the United States' sphere of influence. But I think President Trump has made it clear he, unlike President Bush, and unlike President Obama, is not going to have spend as much money there, and he's not going to have American troops dying there. So I think some sort of presence, particularly in the western half of Afghanistan, bordering Iran, is what we'll have. But that's it. As far as the rest of the Middle East, I'm not sure it was right for George Bush to get involved in a war with Iraq. It was certainly incredibly foolish, maybe the most obvious foreign relations blunder I've seen in my lifetime, for Barack Obama to just leave Iraq. But now we have a huge mess there. And we've got to decide what we're going to do, because Iranian troops go, in essence, all the way from Iran through northern Iraq into northern Syria. I think we have to engage the Russians there unless we plan on having American troops invading or getting very involved in Syria. So I don't think it's a bad thing for President Trump to try to reach out and reach some sort of deal with the Russians, particularly with regard to the Kurds. The Kurds have been allies of the United States. They have trusted the United States, and we don't want to leave them hanging out there to be destroyed by, say, the Syrians and that sort of group taking revenge on them. So I think the goal has to be to protect the Kurds primarily, and then make sure that we don't wind up a situation in which we have too many Iranian troops ready to attack or participating in missile attacks on Israel. Right now, there are tens of thousands, perhaps over 100,000 missiles in Lebanon. And of course, I think some of those missiles get there, through northern Syria at the behest of Iran. And that's something else we've got to look out for. And I think a little bit of the path, if we don't want to get involved ourselves, comes in negotiating with Russia, which is why it's unfortunate so many people go nuts whenever President Trump talks to the Russians.
All right. You guys are back from your August recess, and there are a number of spending bills that you have to get done, I think, before the end of the month to keep government open. Are they going to get done?
The gossip yesterday, and gossip, you got to take it for what it's worth, is that the Democrats will bring to us a continuing resolution just funding next year at the same level as last year as we continue to work on these things. That's a little bit irresponsible, but not unprecedented. To be honest, most of the years since I've been here, they don't finish on time. I will vote for a continuing resolution to keep the government open, provided it doesn't include any increases in government spending. And I think in the past, continuing resolutions normally are marching in place the same amount spent as last year.
You don't see a government shutdown?
No. I don't want to see a government shutdown. And if the Democrat leadership, and so your listeners know, the Republicans lost control last November, which means instead of Paul Ryan setting the agenda, Nancy Pelosi determines what I get to vote on. Historically, if they do not finish things by September 30th, they do a continuing resolution saying, until we get this done, let's just spend the same amount we did last year. I would be willing to vote for something like that, provided they don't put some other radical liberal left-wing stuff in there. But if they do what has normally been done in the past, I will vote to avoid a government shutdown and just keep spending as we did the prior year while the House and the Senate negotiate on what will be in the final bill, which might not pass until November. As a matter of fact, the rumor, I don't know if this has even been put out in the public yet, the rumor is the continuing resolution will go until November 22nd.
All right.
Which, speaking of anniversaries, I'm old enough to always remember that as the day that John Kennedy was shot. But that is right now what the rumor is in this building.
All right. Will Congress vote on any gun control legislation this session? Since you guys left for recess, there have been, I think, four high-profile mass shootings that's generated a lot of discussion about universal background checks and other different measures. Do you think there will be any votes taken on any kind of gun control measure, whatever that might be?
I hope. Again, what I vote on is determined by Nancy Pelosi. I think there is room to vote on something and actually get it passed. But in order to get something passed, you need a moderate bill before the House, and I don't know if we're going to see a moderate bill. I think a couple things I'd like to see happen is, as I understand it right now with regard to background checks, there are three different databases that you look at. Right now, we only look at two of the three. If you had the third database, you would have, for example, prevented that guy who shot those people in the South Carolina church a few years ago from getting a gun. I don't know why we wouldn't check all three databases. I plan on co-sponsoring a bill like that. I hope they allow a bill like that to the floor, because that's the thing I think we can get done. I think the idea of having 100 bullets in a magazine is a little excessive. I think we could lower that to like 30. I've talked to a lot of people, even people in gun stores, very avid pro-gun people, and they don't see a reason why you couldn't lower that to 30 or 20. I think 30 right now is a common magazine that's sold. A lot of people already own that. So I think if we're allowed to vote on things like that, we can even pass legislation. I hate to say partisanship might get in the way, but sometimes what the Democrats have done this time around, and I'm saying the whole first 8 months here, is they introduce an extreme bill. They don't allow you to amend it, and you either have to vote for an extreme bill or no bill. That, to me, is political, rigmarole. I don't like that over partisan stuff where, we're not going to try to compromise. We're just going to give you an extreme bill. But I'm ready to, like I said, I'm ready to vote for magazines of 30. And I'm willing to vote to, you know, as far as background checks, check more databases. And I think that would be a good move in the right direction.
Is Congress
going
to... Go ahead.
They talk about these red flag laws.
Yeah.
We, as a practical matter in the state of Wisconsin, have, at least when I stopped being a lawyer, I believe they still have them, what they call three-party petitions. So right now in Wisconsin, if you feel somebody is dangerous, three people go in and say, I heard this person say this or whatever, and have that gun taken away from them. I have never heard that happen, but you can do that in the state of Wisconsin. And I think insofar as people are concerned about it, people, that ought to be more publicized, because to me, that is the type of red flag law you should have, you know. And then you go before a judge. You can even have a law enforcement show up immediately at the request of three people. But then you go before a judge, and he determines whether you really should be able to take this person's rights away from them. So we already have that in the state of Wisconsin, as far as I'm concerned. And I wish it was more publicized.
All right. I haven't talked to you since news of two of your colleagues announcing that they're stepping down. Sean Duffy's going to be leaving in a couple of weeks. And then longtime Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner announced that he is going to be retiring as well. What was your reaction to two powerful Republican lawmakers from Wisconsin announcing that they're leaving that chamber?
Well, probably the same reactions most of your listeners would have if they found two longtime fellow employees of theirs were leaving. It's kind of sad. Obviously, I know them both. Jim Sensenbrenner was my own congressman for over 25 years. And I certainly know them both very well, and it's going to be strange not having them around. They talk about people running to replace both of them, particularly Scott Fitzgerald in the area just south of you. I sat next to Scott for many years in the state Senate, and so I look forward to sitting next to him here in Washington. You know, sad to see Jim Sensenbrenner go, but if it is going to be Scott Fitzgerald, and that's what the rumor is down south of there, you know, I'll be saying hi to an old friend. I know another old friend of mine, Tom Tiffany, is running to replace Sean Duffy in the northern part of the state. I don't know if he can win or not, but it would be enjoyable again to spend time with him. So it's always sad every 2 years to see so many of the people you work with leave. There's a lot of turnover in Congress. But I look forward to hopefully knowing the people who are going to replace them a year and a half from now.
Congressman Glenn Grothman, always a pleasure having you on this program.
Look forward to doing it next time in studio.